Hello. I want to start by thanking you for this wonderful San Diego weather. I understand it may not last, but I'm happy to be welcomed with it. As Father said, I'm from San Diego. I've been in ministry for 45 years. In fact, this month I start my 46th year in ministry. I have two tasks tonight. One is to provide a reflection on the readings, and the second is to invite you, inspire you, cajole you, guilt you into attending the mission over the next four nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30, right here in the church. First, the readings. The readings are really about faith. And I was struck by the last line we heard from the gospel. When the Son of Man comes again, will there be faith on the earth? Think about that. That suggests that there may not be faith on the earth. Interestingly, just this week, there was a report that was released, a multi-year report, that showed that the faith of people has substantially declined over the last many years. And not just with Catholics, with Christians of all ilk, with Jewish people as well, and not just in going to Mass or going to service, but faith generally, that people just do not believe in God anymore. They do not believe in something greater than themselves. Now, this is kind of frightening when you realize that 2,000 years ago, St. Luke wrote, "When the Son of Man comes again, will there be faith on this earth?" So it really comes down to faith. And I started to think, what can I do as an individual? If the world is turning from faith, what can I do? And then I was reminded of the young boy who was bothering his father one day. "Daddy, Daddy, why is the grass green? Why is sky blue? Why is water wet? Why are you such a nerd?" And the father did not want to be bothered by his young son because he had more important things to do. There was a football game on. So he looked around for something to occupy the son, and he saw this map of the world. And he said, "Son, come here." And he took the map of the world, and the father ripped it into 100 pieces. And he said, "Son, I want you to take these 100 pieces into your bedroom, get some scotch tape, and tape it all back together perfect. And when you have it done, bring it back, and then I will answer all of your questions." Kind of a manipulative dad, huh? You know, a smart dad, the father thought that he'd have an hour or two. Do you know that that boy had that thing taped back together perfect in less than 10 minutes? He was amazed. The father was so amazed that he actually turned off the television. And he said, "Son, how did you do it? How did you get it taped back together so quick?" And the son looked up and said, "Daddy, I just noticed that on the back of the picture of the world, there was a picture of a family. And I just kind of figured if I could put the family together, the world would just sort of somehow take care of itself." You want to change the direction of faith in the world? We start with our families. We start with ourselves. We become stronger in our faith and let it ripple out. Amen? Now, I'm a cradle Catholic, and if I say amen, you might think I'm Baptist, but I'm a cradle Catholic, just to let you know. So in the readings today, I came up with three words that I think will help us to be strengthened in our own walk of faith. From the first reading, we hear of Moses. Now, Moses is up on the side of the mountain, and he's holding the staff, and he tells his general Joshua, "As long as I hold this staff up, you will win the battle." And by the way, this is not an ordinary staff. This is the same staff that he threw down onto the ground before Pharaoh, and it turned into a serpent. It's the same staff that he raised to part the Red Sea. It's the same staff that he raised to close the Red Sea, destroying the armies of the Egyptians. This is an important staff. So Moses is holding this up, and he gets tired. And as he gets tired, his arms start to come down. And as his arms come down, the army of Joshua starts to lose. So his friends Aaron and Ur come over, and they give him a seat to help him. And then when they realize his arms are getting tired, they're underneath, they're holding him up. They're holding his arms up to keep the staff elevated and in the air. Now this morning, and Joshua won the battle. This morning when I was saying my prayers and thinking about tonight and this reading, I was looking at a crucifix, like the one you have here. What are Jesus' hands doing? They're up. And it said to me for the first time, I thought about it differently, that when his hands are up, we win. Jesus going to that cross and raising his hands allows us in our life to win. Amen? So the first word is persistent. If we want to grow in our faith, we must be like Moses and be persistent no matter what. And know that we have family and friends like Aaron and Ur that will help us in our growth and walk of faith. In the second reading from Paul, we hear about his letter, and he's talking about we must have faithfulness, and we must be faithful to the things that we learned. The word that comes to mind in this reading is consistent. Are we in our lives consistent to the teachings that we've been given? Do we come to Mass because we love Jesus, or do we come to Mass because somebody told us we're not going to go to the right place if we don't? Why do we come to Mass? Why do we call ourselves Catholics? We have to be consistent in the things that we're taught, consistent in our daily prayers, consistent in how we treat each other. We tell our spouse that we're going to love them and keep them. Are we consistent in that love? Are we consistent in how we treat one another? We want to grow in our faith. We have to be consistent in how we live out our faith. Amen to that? And in the third reading, the gospel, we hear of the widow. This is a feisty widow, and she's standing up to this dishonest judge. And I give her all three of my words. She's consistent, she's insistent, and she's also, what was the first word? Which one? So you're not even remembering?
Persistent,
exactly right. She was all three. She was insistent about her belief, what she wanted to have happen. The judge was arguing with her. And it says in today's reading that the judge finally gave in because he was afraid what she might do to him. In some Greek translations, it says he was afraid she would give him a black eye. Well, we must be willing to be insistent in our faith, to stand strong in our faith, to stand to the world. The judge represents the world. This widow represents the Christian, the person of faith. We have to be willing to stand strong for those things that we believe in. There's a saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. In reality, we have two simple choices in our life. We choose God or we choose the world. That's it. Simple choices. And why should we choose God over the world? Well, one, he created us, yes? But also, I remember the story of the 11-year-old boy who was born without a right arm. And he went to his father and mother and said, Mom, Dad, I want to learn judo. And his parents said, well, judo's a good sport, but I don't know if it's the best sport for somebody without a right arm. And the boy did what kids do, please, 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 please. So finally, the parents acquiesced. And they said, fine, we'll get you into a judo instruction. And they set the young boy up with a coach. From day one, the coach taught this young boy one and only one judo move. Day after day, week after week, month after month, this young boy was taught only one judo move. After 9 months, the young boy was put into a competition. Do you know he won the first round? He won the second round? He got to the semifinals? He won the semifinals? Then he got to the finals and he won the finals. And no one was more confused than the young boy. And he went to his coach and said, "Coach, how did that happen? How did I win? You only taught me one move." And the coach said, "Yes, son, but I taught you the single most difficult move in all of judo. And the only way your opponent can defeat you is by taking your right arm." You see, that coach, like God, saw that young man's possibilities. Amen? The world sees what we're missing. The world sees what we don't have. The world sees our shortcomings. God sees who he made us to be. God sees our possibilities. That's why we should choose God. Amen? Now, one way to remind ourselves of how to be persistent, consistent, and insistent, and to grow in our faith, and to let go of the peanuts, is to attend activities put on by the church. And as luck would have it, there's a parish mission just this week. Tomorrow night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, four nights in a row at 6:30 p.m. right here in the church. And it's a different kind of mission. I'm going to come out in costume and makeup tomorrow night, Sunday night, as Judas Iscariot. Now, I've performed Judas since 1983, and I've done him all over the world, including in catacombs, and once at the Papal Palace in Avignon, France. Judas Iscariot is an interesting person in our history. He's someone that couldn't figure out how to let go of the peanuts, yes? He's a person that we should look to. Once I had finished performing Judas, and I'm coming out in Washington, D.C., and a man was waiting for me. And he came over and he belted me in the mouth. "That's funny to you?" And I picked myself up and I said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "How dare you make excuses for that guy?" I said, "I didn't make excuses, I made him human." You see, sometimes for us, we want to put Judas up there as a devil and say he's a devil. So I could never do what Judas did. I could never fail as Judas failed because he's a devil. But you know what? He wasn't a devil. He was a human being with shortcomings and frailties just like we have. There's a lesson to be learned in Judas, but only when we see the human side of Judas. And that's what I'm going to bring out tomorrow night at 6:30. This next night, on Monday night, I'm going to be Simon Peter. Costume, come out, and he's going to tell you his story about meeting Jesus, about all the times he failed and fell short and said the wrong thing and did the wrong thing, all the times he begged for forgiveness. He's going to tell you about the time that Jesus called him Satan and how he felt about it. He's going to tell you about the three times that he denied knowing Jesus. He's going to tell you about his wife. How many knew that Peter had a wife? See, no one. The Bible doesn't mention a wife, does it? But it mentions a mother-in-law. And I've learned you don't get one without the other. On the third night, I'm going to come out as St. Paul. St. Paul, we've been reading from his letters almost every Sunday throughout the year. Paul is going to tell you his story. He's going to talk about persecuting the Christians. He's going to talk about his walk on the road to Damascus and Jesus appearing to him. He's going to talk about his transition to a believer. He's going to talk about his mission trips to Athens and Ephesus and Galatia. He's going to talk about going back and forth to Jerusalem. And also, he's going to tell you about his arrests and his beatings. And ultimately, he's going to tell you about his trip to Rome, where he was ultimately beheaded. You're going to learn about St. Paul in a way that maybe you hadn't thought of him before. And he knows that women haven't liked him for a variety of reasons. And he's going to allow the women to tell him to his face why they don't like him. And then he's going to tell the women why they're wrong. And then on the last night, on Wednesday night at 6:30, I'm going to come out as St. Francis of Assisi. And St. Francis is going to talk about his life growing up very wealthy, being into to song and drinking and eating fancy foods, and his call by Jesus and his complete conversion. You're going to learn about Francis in ways that you never thought of before. Did you know that he went and met with the head of all the Muslims during the Fifth Crusade? He's going to talk about his meeting with Sultan Malik al-Kamil and how in many ways that changed relationships between Christians and Muslims to this very day. So these are the four people you're going to meet. Now, I want to invite you personally to attend. If you're going to feel the slightest bit guilty for not attending, if you're going to feel that you are risking the eternal fires of eternal damnation for not attending, then I want to encourage you in your guilt and invite you to be here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Amen? God bless all of you. Thank you.